Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. It's hump day, and I'm going to invite you to have an awesome Wednesday night with us on Talking Sports Plus. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of this show, to have an opportunity to voice the opinion of historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We're so excited to be here. It's a blessing. You know, this is our fourth season with this particular show, which is Talking Sports Plus. So glad to have an opportunity, just like in the song, we don't own the rights to the music. No, it's all about a revolution and having a smile on your face. Wednesday, bring about the middle of the week, you can say hump day, so you can move toward the weekend, whatever you got planned, it'll be all good. But just remember, we're still in a pandemic, or a plague if you want to call it. And what you have to make sure you have follow the protocol, make sure you're taking care of yourself. And we're going to talk about being able to follow the protocol. Some things that are happening in sports now, which we expected. When the spike came about in the flu season, there was going to be some changes. There was going to be some people that contracted that playing a game called football. We're talking about Championship Football 2020. Who's in? Part two. And we're going to talk about those protocols, saying that you have to practice. Now, we can have our opinion, what we think the young people are doing, what the young people are not doing. But one of the things about it, you have to practice it, starting with yourself, so you can share it with other people. Make sure you're washing your hand on a regular basis or using hand sanitizer. If you're not able to wash your hand for 20 seconds with some soap and water, also stay at home. See, that's the one everybody keep putting at the end, but it should be close to the front. It has to be to the point where you don't have to go, don't go. If you have to go to work, it's essential. But then to be everywhere else, because the clubs are open up, because all the places you want to go to that you miss in doing normal time, which is not a normal time, you might not be able to be there because you don't know who's asymptomatic. And you may contract it, don't even know you had it, and bring it back to your family. How are you going to explain that to your family? Yeah, you said some people have recovered. But you know the thing about it, the damage is already done. It's like anything else. Even with the flu, it causes damage to your lung, to your respiratory system, sometimes to your blood system, to cause you high blood pressure. Make sure you take care of yourself. When you go out, stay 6 feet away from the person. Social distance. Some people forget and they'll walk up on you. You have to ask them to step back. Keep the 6 feet. Then wear a mask. Everybody seems to be, that's the most important thing. There was a big, you know, where the political fight was, whether you want to wear a mask or not wear a mask. But the thing about it, as we know, it does protect you, but it also protects the other person. May not be 100%. But it protects you, that you give the comfort. It gives you the comfort in. So let's make sure we follow those protocols, because we want these games to be played. This weekend is supposed to be a big weekend, but it's all been postponed, starting in the SEC. And that's talking about those teams. You got four games being postponed. You're not going to be able to see that football. Then you have the number two team in the country playing, Maryland, has been postponed because of what? An outbreak of COVID-19. Among the players. We expected this, but we didn't think it was going to hit us on a weekend like this. But this is a chance we wanted to take because we wanted to play the game. I want to talk about the game because we are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, as well as the Power Five, the Group of Five. high school and middle school athletics in this part of the country. So let's get this thing started. Let's make sure you be a part of the call. In number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line so you can chat with me as well as the co-host as soon as they join in. They normally just call, trickle in. I appreciate them doing this because it is a volunteer opportunity. Also, if you want to check us out on the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production, and you can get all our episodes, up to about 325 episodes for 4 years of Talking Sports Plus, 4 years of Talking Real to You, to a sense. We might be just starting in January of the next year. We start selling 18. Then we have our other shows. We have several other shows. We got Tell the Truth. It's happening on Sundays at 3 o'clock. Once a month, it's the third Sunday. Then we have on the fourth Thursday, we have the Minister Shannon Show that comes to you as well. Then we also have on the first and third Thursday, glad to have this show, The Love Cafe. The L is for listening, O is for overcoming, and V is for valuable, E is for encouragement and expectation. Then on Tuesday, the second and fourth Tuesday, got to get them together. I have them rolling around a lot. You have the Dr. Lowe Show, and that show is exciting. It talks about relationships. So check us out. We want you. But then on Monday, we have Talking With You, which is every first and third Monday. See, I had to get it because I have them, have them out separated. So it's going to be so much work just doing this. Enjoy doing this. You know, I am the host, producer, and making sure everything is all together. And that's what we want to do. I market, I do it all. And if you have no company, let me know so I can get some of that business from you. I appreciate it. All you got to do is email me at lorenzi.dsmith15@gmail.com. Check us out. We're glad to have you. So you can check us out on the web link. So make sure you can go to the web link and check out each one of our on-demand episodes. Also, we've been broadcast on Facebook. That's facebook.com/DRLDAlberto Smith. That's my handle. That's where you check me out. I post everything on there. Want to give a shout out to any other individual that's joining us. We have Denise Stephanie who just joined us. I mentioned the other individual out of Berkeley, California. Her ministry is Behind the Mask Ministries. She's the CEO and the founder of that. And appreciate it. If you want to check it out, you can go and check what's the Behind the Mask Ministry. But you can look at it and think about where they're going to address things in society, make a difference, offer you an opportunity. So Denise, you can check her out by going to their Facebook page, which is Denise Stephanie. And you can contact her, talk with her, and share their thoughts in regards to Behind the Mask Ministry. We have C. Mulkey Show. She's joining us as well. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate you taking time to join us as well. Each and every one of y'all taking time to check out Talking Sports Plus. Now, we're also on Twitter. You can check us out on Twitter. That's the Smith Way Production. Very excited about that because we give you an opportunity to be broadcast all over the place. And sometimes we use Instagram. We come in and we share things on Instagram as well. But if you want to tweet the show, you can check us out with not only just with my Twitter account, you can check us out starting with at the Smith Way Production. That's where we're broadcast on Periscope. Also, at Tremaine Edwards with the number 7. At Elliot Darrow with the number 1. At Coach_L_Smith. And that's Coach with a K. Check us out. Each one of those individuals, you can tweet them anytime, share your thoughts. But we want you to make sure you do the same thing on Facebook where you are able to comment on the things we're talking about. We want you to do that. Just keep in mind when you call to the call-in number, you can just listen to the show. You don't have to press number 1 and share your thoughts unless the urge hits you. So we're going to have an awesome night tonight. So I'm so glad to have a chance to come before you. God is so good. He's blessing us in many ways. Let me give a shout-out to those people that join me as volunteer co-hosts on this show. We have Hales from Central Alabama. She's the lady of the hour. Matter of fact, I know she's really excited about being a part of this. She's a coach, She's a middle school girls coach. She had a game last night, and I know they're practicing. They have to alternate their time of practice. So she's practicing now. She's going to do her best to get on. And I'm so proud to have her because she's my daughter. That's Coach Lauren B. Smith, and she's our Lady of the Hour. Thank you so much. Lauren's a member of Alpha Kappa, Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We also have Coach Tremaine Edwards out of North Alabama. He's now working at Columbia High School as one of the coaches with basketball, and he's also making sure over there in Madison County at his home school where he's working as a middle school coach over there. Coach Tremaine is quite a winningest coach. When he was at Chapman Middle School in the city of Huntsville, Coach Tremaine won 5 city girls basketball championships, 4 boys middle school championship in basketball, and 2 in football in the last 6 years, well, last 7 years. So we're glad to have him on here sharing the thoughts from North Alabama when he's able to join us as well. We also, I know he's mentioned they're supposed to be having a game, had a game last night, and he's trying to work it out. He's trying to do middle school and high school, but he's joining us, and we appreciate Coach Tremaine Edwards. Also, we have Hill from South Central Alabama. And this young man, I'm so proud to have him. He worked with the Alabama High School Athletic Association before he retired. He's also my frat brother of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, none other than Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth, our high school resident. Then we have another millennium, along with Lauren, Coach Cameron Gilmer from Central Alabama, working over there at Trinity. He's volunteering coaching over there. We thank him for being a part of this as well. And then we have, last but not least, our radio personality. He's known as the Don King of all things. He's the conductor of the E-Train. You can catch him every day on the Big KB 94.1 out of Montgomery, Alabama. None other than my frat brother of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, our radio personality, Darryl E. Train Elliott. So glad to have each and every one of those individuals join us. And like, we're going to have an awesome night. As soon as they call in, we can go from there because it's done remotely, so they can call in when they get a minute and want to share some thoughts. All right, let's look at exactly Championship Football 2020. Now, keep in mind, we should have added in there, it's not who's in part two. It's really how is COVID-19 affecting the championship play. Think about that. That's what's going on. I mentioned earlier about games being canceled. This big weekend for the SEC, and they had to cancel games. Now they're trying to move around and find those games where they're going to put them back at the end of the season. Also, I'm going to give a shout-out to Katanga Sean Mess. Thank you so much for joining us. I know her from Lyons County. Thank you for taking time. And I want to give her a shout-out, being a graduate of Alabama A&M University, a historical black college and university. Thank you, Katanga. Thank you for joining us so much. All right, let's talk about what's going on in regards to even how COVID-19 affects our first topic. Our first topic is discuss the 2020 Heisman race. The top 2 spots are being held by Alabama quarterback Mac Jones and Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. Now, you know, I said the top 2 spots. And the reason you asked, well, wait a minute, I thought Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence was in the top spot, online to win this. But you know what? COVID-19 stepped in. The plague stepped in. Pandemic. He tested positive 2 weeks ago, and he had to send out 2 games. 2 games affects him when you had already got an alternated schedule to be Heisman Trophy winner. So the 2 candidates brought to the top, Mac Jones as well as Justin Fields from Ohio State. But we have to add one more candidate. I think he's kind of coming on. Kyle Trace down at Thrash down at Florida. 5 games in at over 4 touchdowns in 5 of those games. That's 20 touchdowns in 5 games. then you can start talking about him being in the picture. You have several other people that's in the picture, but as long as they continue to play or are able to play, they will continue to be successful. Now, the question is not about the two that's up at the top, but you have, again, Trevor Lawrence, who has to sit out two games. Is it possible for him to get back in the race? Now, the odds makers at Las Vegas said no, because those two games affect him having a full season where he may end up, and you don't know what other games are going to be affected by COVID-19. So he's been one of them affected personally, because winning that Heisman means money in some form the rest of your life, whether it's through speaking engagement, people just want you to come and be a part of advertising once he wins that, if he was to win that. But at this point, he can't win it. So can he get back in the race? It's possible anything happen. At this point, I think as Mac Jones continue, even though they're losing the game on Saturday, but continue with the track he's going, Justin Fields continue with the track they're going, then it's going to be hard to nudge them out. However, Trevor Lawrence will be the number one draft choice in the 2021 draft, NFL draft, because of not this year, it's only this year, but in the past, he has been very successful, came in as a freshman, won the national championship by handing Alabama, you know, a defeat. And then he come right back the next year. He didn't win it, which was last year, LSU, with Joe Burrow won it. National championship. Now he's back for his junior year. And as you know, all they have to do is put in 3 years on the college level, the eligibility of 3 years, then they can move on to the NFL. They don't have to play the 4 years. So can they get back in the league? At this time, odds makers say no. Pundits say no. Talking heads say no. And Dr. Smith said no. I don't believe he can get back in. So he can get himself ready by to win a national championship if his team continue to play decent. Now, that was a big ball game. We want to spotlight that game, but we won't spotlight that game quite yet, where it was between Ohio State and Notre Dame last week. Some people said Notre Dame last weekend, which was 47-40, where Notre Dame won the ball game. And it was a good ball game, but we ain't going to talk about it so much till we finish with our next topic. Our next topic is dealing with who's number one. After Clemson lost to Notre Dame, there was a change in the seating on the top. At the time when Clemson was number one, Alabama, the University of Alabama, who was number two, was only two votes behind them, even when they had Trevor Lawrence, or even when he went out and their second-string quarterback had a successful game the week before. However, with the loss, that vaults the University of Alabama to be number one. So the question, who's number one in college football now? Some people said even before this happened, Alabama should have been number one, but the way they was playing on defense, but they are now the number one team. However, as you know, we want to discuss Nick Saban. As a coach, Nick Saban have a tendency to dismiss things like that because he thinks he plays with his players' head because they see themselves being ranked number one. And he always tried to play it down to the point where, you know, we shouldn't be number one. Keep us number two, number three. However, when you have the kind of explosive offense that the University of Alabama has, defense is not as great, but you're going to have to outscore them to beat them. They deserve to be number one. There was only 2 points out of first place 2 weeks ago, so now they're in number one. They're going to continue to be number one sitting this week due to they not playing, as well as Ohio State not playing. I see on my ticker tape in front of me, I have Marvin Lala Smith. I think Justin Fields right now, he's completing 86% of his passes. Matthew's playing well, but I think that the SEC defense is not good as passes. Well, you could be right. He hadn't had one drop pass, one incomplete. Oh, that's all right, but it's only two games. And the level of play, we just got to be real. Ohio State is another level. But if they continue, because Alabama has played Georgia, Ohio State has played Penn State. But Penn State turned out not to be what they supposed. Georgia began to show they're not what they supposed, but they still have an awesome defense. They get blasted by Alabama, then Georgia blasted by Florida. Their defense may not be as good against those two, but they're going to be good against everybody else, whereas I think Penn State won't. So that's one of the things we got a little different. The number of games, they're being played, and that's going to determine it because it's going to equal out in the end. But Mac Jones at this time, the odds makers had him at a plus 140, have Justin Fields at either a plus 190 or 270, somewhere around there. So that's the status right now, so we're going to kind of keep our – all right, back to who's number one. You know, should Ohio State be number one? I don't think so. This is my opinion. They haven't played enough games. You can't play two games. You can't come to the party. Later they came to the party, and all of a sudden when the other teams have played – and that's one thing I believe – when you play and you consistently win over a long period of time, meaning four or five games, I'm thinking about it with two games should come. They need to play at least four or five games to say whether they could be in the number one slot. But right now, I don't believe they're going to be in that spot. They're going unless there's a loss, because right now, I don't think nobody's going to come out. I don't think Notre Dame, even Notre Dame is up there right behind them. I think Notre Dame is third, going to run by Ohio State if Alabama loses. So that's something we want to make sure we share with the should they be number one? Not at this time because of the number game. It is important. It is important that you play games to have the eye, pass the eye test. That's what a lot of athletes and coaches call when you look at teams to the eye test. Right now, Alabama right now is the best team in the country. They truly is. And the thing about it, we'll see how things shake out as we move forward. So at this time, Alabama's number one. It should be number one until they lose. I don't see that going to be a big switch up because I don't believe Clemson's going to vault them. I don't believe Ohio State at this time will vault them because Ohio State only have one more game. One more game that's considered to be a game, that a test for them. When they're only going to play in a number, I think it's trying to squeeze eight. Now they're going to play seven, and that's Michigan. And Michigan will be in tailspin going back out the door. So we don't think that'll be a competitive game. So it's going to be, if it's continuing like it is, you can start putting the team that's going to be in the playoffs. You can get a picture because everybody said, okay, maybe Florida going to give them the challenge, the Alabama in the championship game. Maybe and maybe not. We don't know. I'm not taking away from anybody else on the schedule. They're all over. Florida still got to play LSU. LSU might look like slop now because I don't think Alabama's going to get a chance to play them because of the way the schedule. That's the effect COVID-19 have on the situation dealing with these games. And that's what we want to make sure we talk about. We have to continue to practice those protocols and safety measures. I think we're getting away from that. I think a lot of times, you know, as young people, we have kind of drilled in the head that, well, you can't die from it, but you can be contracted, you can be a carrier, and you can get sick from it. But by the part not thinking that ultimate that you may cease to live from it, it allows them to think, well, we can do more things, and they're doing a lot more things. You know, they thought about the break they had. The break, a lot of them went home. You know, over Halloween, they spent the home, they had to send them home on the weekend, and a lot of these teams are contract. You know, you have the game with Auburn being postponed because of Mississippi State not having enough players. They don't have enough scholarship players. That's what we get. They got players. So sometimes they have up to 120, 30 players, but all of them not on scholarship. They only have so many kids on scholarship, so many players on scholarship. And they're not able to fill a team that have enough scholarships to play competitive football. Same thing happened with LSU. LSU, the game was in jeopardy on Monday and Tuesday. Auburn made the decision along with the SEC office, along with the beginning of the week on Monday and said they were not going to be able to play. But it took for yesterday evening for the decision to be made because of LSU not having enough scholarship players. This is COVID-19. This is the pandemic, people. We're dealing with this. This is what we expected, but we want to play sport. We have to play sport. So this comes along with it. See, look at this weekend. You're not in exciting games on. You don't see the number one team playing or the number two team. And you know, you're worried about who's going to play or don't see your team playing because of COVID-19. And we have to understand that that's an effect. It's an effect on the Heisman race. It's an effect on the team's plan. And it's possibility it's going to be an effect on completing a complete season. If we go back to the Big Ten, who started late, came to the party late, you know, they only had 8 games. And Wisconsin, part of the Big Ten, who will probably win the Big Ten West, may or may not won. It lost 2 games because of COVID-19. They're not eligible. They will not be able to get in the college playoff because they won't have enough games that won. Unfortunate. About having to sit out 2 games. And not just think, it's only another weekend when they're going to be short. These teams are not going to be able to play. It might be Wisconsin. Next time might be somebody else they're supposed to play. This is what we're dealing with. Let's make sure we look at this in a way that we can make a difference. You know, my hashtag is One Life Matter. Your life matters. So take care of yourself. Share this. And one of the recommendations by the CDC coming up with Thanksgiving is that it's best for you to have your Thanksgiving with your family members in your home, not out everywhere else, even though we want to be. If you do go out, they say wear a mask, even inside, wear a mask and practice social distancing. You don't go to no family gathering and do that. So we have to keep in mind this is not going to be going away until we make sure we handle it individually. Take care of ourselves. Don't put ourselves in situations. If you don't have to go, don't go. Like I told you, the most important thing out of these 4 protocols is stay at home. If you have to go to work, that's different. You're essential. But when you have to try to go do the other things that you know you call entertainment, because the state of Alabama governor, you know, she took away the limits on entertainment venues. So now you're out now doing more. You can do more at these entertainment venues. And it's there. It's all over the country. And we have to keep that in mind. But we have to handle block by block where we are now. All right, the next one we're going to talk about in regards to the results from week 10 of the NCAA. Before I do that, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure you only become live so you can chat with me, get your thoughts on what's going on in sports in your world, and just kind of tell us some things that you want to share about the topics we're talking about and what you're encountering here. Let's talk about the spotlight game. The biggest spotlight game for last weekend, which was week 10, was the game between Notre Dame and Clemson. As we know the result, Notre Dame upset Clemson. It was the first game they won against a Division I team in probably 10 or 15, 20 years. But they won the game, and that helped promote them, excel them, or push them up to the point where they're ranked number 3. So that was the spotlight game. And Clemson played without Trevor Lawrence. And by not playing with him, even though that freshman did well in the previous game, when you go against a defense, they shut down ETN. He was not able to rush the ball. They completed some passes, but it was not the same as Trevor Lawrence with that. COVID-19 played a part with that. The next ball game was Florida against Georgia. Florida hand Georgia a whipping. I hadn't seen Georgia, besides when they played Alabama, received from Florida in a few years. They beat them 44-28 and put themselves in the driver's seat for the eastern part of the Southeastern Conference toward the championship game. So Florida moved forward. They played without Kyle Pitts, and he's an outstanding tight end, receiver, however you want to call it. He got hurt, but they still was able to put up 44 points on one of the number one defense. See, when they played Alabama, everybody said they the number one defense against the number one offense. Alabama blitzed them pretty good, but they still was considered to be up in the top. But after this happened in Florida, they just fall out of the mouth. So we applaud and give Florida a shout out, 44-28. Another highlight game, a spotlight game, was USC and Arizona. I tell you personally, I was watching that game. And when I turned this game off and went to something else, or even left and went somewhere that was not here to watch the game, it was 27-14, I believe, going into the fourth quarter, about 2 minutes left in the game. USC had the ball. Marched out of the field and scored on a tip pass for a touchdown. and then came back and got the ball back and drove down the field, and the quarterback completed a pass for USC for the next touchdown, kicked the extra point, the game over with, scored over with, 28-27. Hurrah to USC. They didn't play well, but they played well enough to beat Arizona State. The score was 28-27. USC winning their first game, Arizona State losing their first game. Then we also had Liberty University. That's an independent college who's trying to move up to Division I. Coached by Hugh Freeze, who's down at Ole Miss one time. Liberty upset Virginia Tech 36-35. That's a shocker. They slowly they knocked off Syracuse because they're not officially what you would call a Power Five. They're playing independent. So that was a big spotlight game. So, you know, since they have beaten teams like Syracuse, talking about Liberty University, former quarterback from Auburn is a quarterback. Malik is the quarterback up at Liberty. They beat Syracuse, I mentioned them. Southern Miss, FIU, and Western Kentucky. Their future opponents will be North Carolina State University in the ACC and Coastal Carolina. So those are the teams, the highlight, spotlight games of the week. Now, again, share your thoughts on Facebook. Comment on some of the things we're sharing and talking about. And we just want you to be fruitful and multiply with the information you have. Next thing, we're going to look at the Pac-10 kickoff. Not only was USC successful by coming back and beating Arizona State 28-27, Oregon came and kind of manhandled Stanford. The final score in that game was 35 for Oregon, Stanford 14. So they look like the team besides USC that will be possibly can come out of the Pac-12 to represent in the college playoff. But you have a problem with that. You only have 6 games to play and a championship game. And already you have a cancellation. Cal Berkeley, they canceled their game. First game of the season with Washington. So you got that cancellation. That's one. That's put those two teams out of the picture because you got to play at least 6 games. You have to have 6 wins. And they can't do it with 5. So, again, COVID-19. Don't get fatigued of it. You have to be weary of it. You have to be understanding of it. And follow the safety measures. I'm going to say that over and over. Hashtag One Life Matter. Hashtag responsible. Be responsible. Don't put your family members, don't put people in harm's way by going out and want to do what you want to do. The norm is no longer norm. It's a new norm now. And it slowly happens just because we don't know. The numbers are spiking. Even for the last 4 or 5 weeks, they said, it's over, 2,100 numbers of cases and even more than that in the state of Alabama. They're like that in other states as well. We have to practice the safety measures. And it's all about who's telling you what to do it. You should know that it is not normal and people are dying at a rapid pace. And what could and should have been done, we can't worry about it, is what got to be done now. One day at a time. So football has been affected. A Heisman race has been affected. Who going to be in the playoffs going to be affected because of COVID-19? And, you know, we just excited about having a chance to come before everybody and share some thoughts here about sports. You know, we're the voice of the historical black colleges and universities and high school and middle school. Now we're going to get to the section dealing with high school, the SWAC, as well as middle school basketball. One of the things that since the SWAC, the MEAC, the SIAC, and the CIAA is planning on participating in the spring. But I know I received notice the other day through my ticket tape on sports that Bethune-Cookman, I believe, and FAMU and FAMU and Miami have decided to forego the spring football and get ready in the fall. Other schools are going to do that as well. Now, you got to remember, those schools were leaving the MEAC to come to the SWAC in 2021. So they choose it. Because of COVID-19 is the reason why they're playing in the spring. You had a lot of things going on in August, even in July. It costs money for a school that's in the historical black colleges and universities. So they're not going to be able to play. Some teams are option out to play even in the spring. However, there's a schedule set up. We've been over it. So you don't know about that schedule that's set up. You can go and check any site when you're talking about the historical black colleges and universities. You have two spotlight games that's coming into play. You have the Magic City Classic will be played in the spring on April the 17th up in Birmingham, Alabama, Legion Field between Alabama State and Alabama A&M University. Both universities will be participating in spring, the spring season for the historical black colleges and universities. Then down in the great state of Louisiana, in New Orleans, you will have the Bayou Classic on that same day, April 17, between Southern University and Grambling State University. And the time is set right at 4 o'clock for that game. The SWAC will be kicking off at 3 o'clock. I'm sorry, the Magic City Classic will be kicking off at 3 o'clock. So those are two major games that's going to be happening. Then two weeks later, you're going to have what they call the SWAC Championship for the 2020 season, even though we planned it in the spring of 2021. That's basically the news in regards to football with the historical black colleges and universities. We also want to share some things about the historical black colleges and universities getting basketball kicked off. Basketball will kick off a tip off on the 25th of November, which is about 2 weeks. If certain rules go along with this 2021 season, the rules with basketball is you have an opportunity to play up to 24 games in one multiple team tournament for girls or women. For men, it's 25 games, one multiple team tournament you can participate in. So the season, even though the season is starting on the 25th of November, some will get started. Some are going to start December the 5th. And games going to move until they get into the main meat of the SWAC schedule, the MEAC, SIAC, and the CIAA. So basketball is going to be closely related. They're just not going to be able to play as many ball games. They're going to play 25 regular season games in one multiple team tournament for the men's, and women are going to do 24, some cases 25. And one multiple team tournament. So that's what it's looking like in basketball. It's going to start actually in 2 weeks. You can check it out. A lot of time those teams be on the road, but they're most likely having midnight madness coming up to play and participate. So check those schools out in the historical black college and university Division One, including the SWAC, Southwest Athletic Conference, the MEAC, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, and then in the SIAC, the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, and the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association. They are Division II. SIAC, CIAA is Division II. So you have that going on, so check that out with basketball and those basic rules I mentioned and changes. Let's get to some high school football, high school and middle school storylines. Let's start with football. We have week two in the state of Alabama with the what we call week two championship playoff matchup. This is week two. Spotlight games. I want to give them a shout out. Good question. Thank you, Lala, about the number of fans that attend. The number is that it has to be where you can practice social distance. And that was reading through the High School Athletic Association. You have to be in a position you can practice social distance, just like we know the 6 feet. But as a family, you can all sit together as a family. So you have to look at your numbers. Now, I know for sure that in the SEC, there was a request by South Carolina women basketball I think they said a 1,500. They was asking for 1,500. So in our high school and college, you still got to practice social distance. Now, if you go on these campuses, for sure, I can tell you, if you go to Alabama State University, it is a mask mandatory campus. So you have to wear the mask when you go to the over there to the game. And it's going to be a practice of social distance. So the numbers, I'm not going to say what the numbers are going to be right at this time, but they said right at about 1,500 would be a max for right now. So check that out with your historical black colleges and university. You know, when the big major game comes, when they want to put 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 and over there at ASU and the Acadone, it won't be possible because you got to practice social distance. It has to be done. That's the Alabama Health Department rules, and your high school is going along, athletic, and your college is going. Because it is not whether SWAC can say whether you can fill up the complex. It's what your state says. One thing we have to keep in mind. So check that out, and you can see. You got to practice social distance, and on ASU campus, like all the other campuses, you're going to have to wear a mask. You can't go in that stadium, go in that complex without a mask. You can't get there like people get the games I've seen in high school, take the mask off. You won't be able to stay because it's mask mandatory, and it will be enforced. So let's keep that in mind. Support your university how you see fit. I wanted to answer that question. Now, the matchup for the Alabama High School Athletic Association Week 2 Championship Playoff, you have Spotlight Game 1A, which is going to be an awesome ball game. You have Notre Soho, who's 8-1, will be taking on Sweetwater, who's 7-2. That's going to be an awesome game over there in Sweetwater. You have McKenzie, my school that I coached at. We won a state championship in football. Went up there to the playoff several years with McKenzie. They ride an 8-2, and they got an outstanding group of players. But one back we spotlight from the beginning of the season was Darius Davison, running back over there. Check him out. They'll be over in Linden. They're 8-2, and Linden is 11-0. Linden is ranked up there, number 2 behind Brantley. The next game will be Keith High School, who 8-3 at Brantley, the number 1 team, that's 11-0. Those are spotlight games for the 1A. For the 2A, Leroy, who's 9-1, at Geneva, who's 8-3. GW Lone is 9-1 at Lynette. We know by Lynette over there. We give a shout out there for my frat brother, 580 Sigma Fraternity, coaching over there. And he had won 2 state championships in the last 3-4 years over there at Lynette. So that's going to be an awesome game. 9-2, their record. Then we have in the 3A spotlight game, Trinity here in Montgomery. 9-2, going to be taking the travel down to Slocum. They 10-1. Montgomery Academy, 11-0, will be traveling over to Pike County, who's 6-3. Which is 8-3, going to travel up here to Montgomery. So if you want to check a ball game out, you can go over to Montgomery Catholic, and they are 9-2. In your 4A, you have Jacksonville High School, who's 7-3, will be traveling up here to Alabama Christian. You can go over there and check that game out. They're 9-2. And now 5A, if you want to check out 5A, you're going to have to go on the road. You have Pike Road, 11-0, be traveling down to USM Wright, who beat Hopeville last weekend. We had a player that spotlighted over at Hopeville, and we're so proud to have Drew Pickett. Check his stats, over 6 ball game. He finishes over 1,138 yards, and in receiving, it was like 1,240-some yards, 11 touchdowns, and he's a sophomore. Shout-out to Drew Pickett. We want to give him a shout-out. Over at Hopeville, they lost, but they have a future. You also have in the 5A, you have Selma High School, 7-4, traveling down to St. Paul, who's 11-0. Okay. Then you have Andalusia over there in our south central part. Andalusia 8 and 3 will be traveling up to central of Clay County. Central of Clay County. Then you also have, in the 6A, you have Sarlin, a player we spotlighted from Sarlin, a wide receiver, Jarrell Williams. He's going to be traveling with his team up here to Crampton Bowl to take on Robert E. Lee High School. Sarlin is 9-2. Robert E. Lee is 7-3. So Friday night, you got a ball game going on over there in Crampton Bowl. Go ahead and support your team. We did want to make sure we give a shout out to Jarrell Williams, the receiver, the wide receiver. Well, he's taught it, and everybody wants to get him at Sarlin High School. Check him out. He'll be in Montgomery. You also have in the 7A, Daphne will be traveling to Auburn. Auburn was 9-1. Daphne is 10-1, and Daphne is slowly climbing up the ranking for the top 25. You also have a note that I wanted to share about high school football, the North and South All-Star Game for high school football will be played at Mobile Hancock Witness Stadium, which is the home of the University of South Alabama, on December the 18th. And it will be there for 3 years. So 20 through 22, if you want to check out the North-South All-Star Game, you can check them out at Mobile Hancock Whitney Stadium, the home of the University of South Alabama. Also, let's keep in mind, and one of the questions that I saw from Brother Lala was about the safety practice, the best practice for the player in one of sports, specifically basketball. We got to make sure those balls would be cleaned off. We got to make sure when they change chairs, they clean the chairs out. I attended a game yesterday, middle school game yesterday, and had a kid. The kid was out there on the floor plan, and he regurgitated. So he threw. So you know what has to be done. The game will stop. They had to clean it up, spray, mop, get it clean. And he was taken outside to get himself taken care of, and they don't want to take any chance. So you got to practice. Make sure if the balls are clean off, the floor is swept well, the seats are clean off, meaning to where the players are sitting down at. Inside the gym, you got to practice, safety protocol and social distance, unless it's a family together, and don't come and join somebody because you're bringing in a problem that we shouldn't have that could affect the whole gym. We're going to practice the safety protocol in regards to being able to stay away from each other if you're not family. The gym's going to have limited numbers. You might have been able to put in 600, 700, 800 at one time, or 800, 900, 1,000. You're only going to be able to put down a lot of amount. They said they depend on the class because you have larger class, have more students, more individuals. So you're looking at a number that the High School Athletic Association will put in place. But just make sure we practice the best measures for safety dealing with our young people. Clean up. Don't let them sit up there all draped out of the same water bottle. You need to have their individual water bottle. I always recommend get your sponsors to purchase you individual bottles of water. And when they drank out, and I always tell them, get a smaller bottle. And they drank out, they put it in the trash can. They're to put it in the trash can. They have to handle their own. This is where we are with the safety protocols and the safety measures dealing with COVID-19. You're going to be inside a closed building. You're going to have to wear your mask. I'm telling you, because I went into the game, everybody had their mask on yesterday. Even had some players on the court with a mask on. So if they're making an effort to practice safety measures, you need to do the same. Don't go in the gym like you went out on the football field, in the football stadium, go through the gate with your mask on. Soon you got to take your mask off. Be all up in everybody else's face. We have to remember, we have to stop the spread. Can't stop it if we don't practice the best measures. And we can challenge the scientists. You can challenge the government. Everybody should have did this, should have done that. But what you can do yourself right now, that's what we ask you to do. Do that now. See? And one other thing, thank you, Lala, you have to have more than one ball, man. Just because of, if the ball go on the stand, like he said, you're going to have to change that ball. I know everybody's, man, that's crazy. You don't need to go out there and buy you a couple of those game balls, because that may happen. Because if somebody touch it and throw it back to you, you don't know what they caught in their hand. They put it on the ball. Now the official got it in his hand. And now the student, no, make sure you have more than one ball for each game. And make sure you clean that ball, clean them all. Make sure you do that, because you're in practice with those balls. Make sure we have to demand us following safety measures if we want to be successful. All right, we want to kind of move to the Florida High School Football State Championship. They're going to begin on the 13th, which is Friday, and they have a lot of playing games in classes of 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 7A, and 8A. They got playing, what they call playing games. In the, you're missing the 5A and 6A, you have regional brackets. See, there's so many schools in the state of Florida, and they spread out so far, because you're talking from Pensacola to Miami is a good 12-hour drive in the same state. So it spread it out so far. So make sure, if you want to keep up with that, we'll run some takes on it. We'll talk about Florida High School Athletics. We always have through the year, the playing game. So we're not going to talk much about that player. We're going to let them play in so they can get in the bracket play, so we have a better picture on the 20th of next week. Last thing, some middle school basketball. In Montgomery, they tipped it off yesterday. The schools played. I know COVID-19 affected one particular school, and that's where one of our co-hosts is working at. Their varsity team, which is the eighth grade, could not participate yesterday because the team players got COVID-19 and contact tracing, and the head coach has COVID-19. So they couldn't participate. So they only played a girls game and a seventh grade game yesterday. This is what we're dealing with. So it can happen. And it'd be more so inside a gym than out on the football field. We got to pretty much, they said, sad to say, you may not be at, you know, as much of a challenge when you're dealing with it as football, but you will have it in basketball. So let's practice this. And if it comes to where you have to make some decision about whether or not the child to play it, you make the right decision. Don't let nobody else tell you anything different, because this thing can shut them down for 2 or 3 weeks now. You don't want somebody who's contracted out there playing with your child. They're like, you don't want your child out there playing with anybody else. You don't want to have them walk around people. We have to be very serious about it. We have to be vigilant, very vigilant. So let's make sure we keep it in mind. So the middle school basketball started yesterday in Montgomery, also up in Madison County. They tipped off last week because one of our other co-hosts, which is Coach Edwards, his team played, and they got their first win last Tuesday, I believe. So now this Tuesday just went through, a week ago Tuesday. So congratulations to Madison Middle School, Columbia. Now it's Columbia High School he's working with, but he's also working with the middle school up there. So check out, he moved from Huntsville Public School System to Madison County Public School System. So check them out. They're playing up there as well. You have other places are kicking off as well. We're going to have some scores next week. We're going to have a lot of shout out next week. We also get to the point where we're going to be voting on our players who've had outstanding performance in football. We have a list of names already. We gave shout out. And we got a group, our committee's going to vote on, and the person that's elected with all the votes, and you're going to automatically, you know, receive the plaque of trophy and also receive a monetary support for you. So thank you so much for joining tonight. You've been awesome. Make sure on Tuesday you go out and vote for Kirk Hatchett for Senate District 26 at 7 o'clock a.m. when the polls open up, closes at 7 p.m. That's November the 17th. His honesty, his transparency, his ethical background and willingness to help young people because he has a vision, help the district, help the individuals in the city. So he's honest and he'll be the voice for District 26. Go out and vote for Kurt Hatcher. We look forward to you making sure you vote on Tuesday. Our next show will be coming in here on Monday, talking real to you. We're going to talk some more politics. Hopefully we can get a couple more candidates on here on Monday night and let them share their thoughts. That's Talking Sports to you. Sorry, Talking Real to You on Monday night, 7:30. So check us out. That's Central Standard Time. It's been awesome tonight, and I appreciate everybody joining us. You know, it's good because God is blessing us to be able to come before you and share some thoughts. You know, I have many hashtags that I share, but I want to give a shout-out to those individuals who joined us again. I have to do that. You got Marvin Smith. Thank you for that information, Marvin. Terrence Gibson, the Honorable Terrence Gibson, the Director of Social Action with Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Southern Region. Thank you, my frat brother, my president when I was down there in Low Sigma Chapter down in Miami Garden. We got Furrow Pre-Stage. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Stan Talley. Thank you, Stan, so much for joining us. I was hoping that the boy Trey was going to be on tonight, Coach Edwards, but he's running behind the ball, but we want him to keep running. Have Marvin Lala Smith. Thank you so much, young brother. You know, thank you. We have Demarcus Weeze, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, and also the police chief down in Mosses. When I worked before I retired, my office was in Mosses because I was at adjacent site to Central High School at the old Career Tech building. So he's now the police chief down there. Thank you, Demarcus, so much. But Tate Pickens, Inspire to Inspire. She's the CEO and founder. Tay doing some awesome things. Go to her Facebook and make sure you get to a group page so you can get some awesome things for growth for you. She's there to inspire to inspire. Thank you, Latay, so much for your support. We also have my frat brother, Winston K. O'Neill. Bingo, we call him, out of the Great Lakes region, the state of Michigan. Thank you so much, my frat brother, so much for Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. You meet Stephanie Behind the Mask Ministry out of Berkeley, California. She's checking us out as well. You know, give her a shout out. Go to her page and she can share some things with you. Always advertising, always posting, always sharing some important things. This is Behind the Mask Ministry. We have C. Monkey Show. Thank you so much. I looked down, I shouted out that she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you so much. Katanga Sean Mess, down out of Lowndes County. Remember, I'm going to say she's happy, excited, alumnus of Alabama A&M University. Thank you so much, Katanga. And you also have Tommy Bush. Tommy Bush was one of the players down at McKenzie back in the many, many days. Thank you, Tommy, so much for joining us as well. It's really good to have you on here supporting us. And we look forward to McKenzie advancing on tomorrow. You got a tough road to go. Lemon is nothing to play with, but you go play hard. And, you know, just same way when you had to come in, when you had to come up, Forella came in. And they come ranked number two, looking to win, and McKenzie could have scored 70 on them. So it can happen. So we say work hard, McKenzie. Keep on grinding. And we do pray for success for you tomorrow, Friday night. That's all the people that's joining us. Thank you so much. It's been exciting. And as we get ready to close out of here, my first hashtag is One Life Matter. During COVID-19, One Life Matter. And we can't allow anybody to tell us different. You make that decision whether you want that life, your life, be the one to matter. You also have, I'm scrolling down trying to find out, set up me, hashtag responsible. Be responsible. You know, be responsible. We're in this thing together. You know, we are one, and we're going to have to work as one to be successful. Then you also have hashtag keep on grinding. Excited about being able to share this with you. We're excited to share this vision that God gave to me in 2017, have this vessel to share things with you, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all joining. It's exciting to have you on here. And also, you have the hashtag communicate for understanding. That's what it's all about. But as I share at the end of every one of my shows, tell your family members that you love them. Give them a hug or a virtual hug if you're not able to physically put your arms on them. And just continue to uplift them. Love your family. Love your friends. And love God. And last but not least, as I always get ready to close this thing out, I'm excited about doing this thing. Because God is good. He's awesome. And I enjoy it. So as we close it out, we always want to keep in mind that I love you, and I know thing you can do about it. Have an awesome day.